The Second Century, Number 51 through 60. Number 51. Love is far more glorious being than flesh and bones. If thou wilt, it is endless, and infinitely more sweet than thy body can be to thee and others. Thy body is confined, and is a dull lump of heavy clay, by which thou art retarded, rather than dost move. It was given thee to be a lantern only to the candle of love that shines in thy soul. By it thou dost see and feel and eat and drink. But the end of all is that thou mightest be as God is, a joy and blessing by being love. Thy love is illimited. Thy love can extend to all objects. Thy love can see God and accompany his love throughout all eternity. Thy love is infinitely profitable to thyself and others. To thyself, for thereby mayest thou receive infinite good things. To others, for thereby thou art prone to do infinite good to all. Thy body can receive but few pleasures. Thy love can feed upon all, take into itself all worlds, and all eternities above all worlds, and all the joys of God before and after. Thy flesh and bones can do but little good, nor that little unless, as by love, it is inspired and directed. A poor carcass thy body is, but love is delightful and profitable to thousands. O live, therefore, by the more noble part. Be like him who baptized with fire. Feel thy spirit, awaken thy soul. Be an enlarged seraphim, an infinite good, or like unto him. Number 52. The true way we may go unto his throne, and can never exceed, nor be too high. All hyperboles are but little pygmies and diminutive expressions in comparison of the truth. All that Adam could propose to himself or hope for was laid up in store for him in a better way than he could ask or think, but in seeking for it a false way he lost all, what he had in hope, and what he had in fruition. To be as God we are prompted to desire by the instinct of nature, and that we shall be by loving all that he doth. But by loving him what, O what shall we be? By loving him according to the greatness of his love unto us, according to his amiableness, as we ought, and according to the obligations that lie upon us, we shall be no man can devise what. We shall love him infinitely more than ourselves, and therefore live infinitely more in him than in ourselves, and be infinitely more delighted with his eternal blessedness than our own. We shall infinitely more delight, than ourselves. All worlds, all angels, all men, all kingdoms, all creatures will be more ours in him than in ourselves. So will his essence and eternal Godhead. O love, what hast thou done? Number 53. And he will so love us, when all this beauty of love is within us, that though we, by our love to him, seem more blessed in his blessedness than he is infinitely more blessed than we, even in our own blessedness, we being so united to each other by living in each other, that nothing can divide us for evermore. Number 54. Love is infinitely delightful to its object, and the more violent, the more glorious. It is infinitely high, nothing can hurt it, and infinitely great in all extremes of beauty and excellency. Excess is its true moderation, activity its rest, and burning fervency its only refreshment. Nothing is more glorious, yet nothing more humble. Nothing more precious, yet nothing more cheap. Nothing more familiar, yet nothing so inaccessible. Nothing more nice, yet nothing more laborious. Nothing more liberal, yet nothing more. In the manuscript the word is indecipherable. It doth all things for its object's sake, yet it is the most self-ended thing in the whole world, for of all things in nature it can least endure to be displeased. Since, therefore, it contains so many miracles, it may well contain this one more, that it makes every one greatest, and among lovers every one is supreme and sovereign. Number 55. God by love wholly ministers to others, and yet wholly ministers to himself, love having this wonder in it also, that among innumerable millions it makes every one the sole and single end of all things. It attains all unattainables and achieves impossibles, that is, seeming impossibles to our inexperience, and real impossibles to any other means or endeavors. For indeed it makes every one more than the end of all things, and infinitely more than the sole supreme and sovereign of all. For it makes him so first in himself, and then in all. For while all things in heaven and earth fall out after my desire, I am the end and sovereign of all, which conspiring always to crown my friends with glory and happiness, and pleasing all in the same manner whom I love as myself, I am in every one of them the end of all things again, being as much concerned in their happiness as my own. Number 56. By loving, a soul does propagate and beget itself, because before it lived only in itself. After it loved, and while it loves, it liveth in its object. Nay, it did not so much as live in itself before it loved. For, as the sun would be unseen and buried in itself, did it not scatter and spread abroad its beams, by which alone it becomes glorious, so the soul without extending and living in its object is dead within itself, an idle chaos of blind and confused powers, for which, when it loves, it gains three subsistencies in itself by the act of loving: a glorious spirit that abides within, a glorious spirit that flows in the stream, a glorious spirit that resides in the object, insomuch that now it can enjoy a sweet communion with itself in contemplating what it is in itself and to its object. Number 57. Love is so vastly delightful in the lover because it is the communication of his goodness. For the natural end of goodness is to be enjoyed. It desires to be another's happiness, which goodness of God is so deeply implanted in our natures that we never enjoy ourselves but when we are the joy of others. Of all our desires, the strongest is to be good to others. We delight in receiving, more in giving. We love to be rich, but then it is that we thereby might be more greatly delightful. Thus we see the seeds of eternity sparkling in our natures. Number 58. Love is so vastly delightful to him that is beloved, because it is the fountain of all affections, services, and endeavors, a spring of honor and liberality, and a secure pledge of future benefits. It is the sole title by which we reign in another's bosom, and the only throne by which we are exalted. The body and soul of him that loves is his that is beloved. What then can love deny? All greatness, power, and dominion befalleth him that is beloved in the soul that loves him, so that while all the glorious creatures in all worlds love you, you reign in all souls, are the image of God, and exalted like God in every bosom. Number 59. Though no riches follow, yet we are all naturally delighted with love, both for what we receive and for what we give. When we are beloved, we receive the quintessence and glory of another soul, the end of heaven and earth, the cream and flower of all perfections, the truth of God Almighty, peace and welfare, pleasure and honor, help and safety, all in readiness, and something infinitely more in which we are not able to express. When we are beloved, we attain the end of riches in an immediate manner, and having the end need not regard the means. For the end of riches is that we may be beloved. We receive power to see ourselves amiable in another soul, and to delight and please another person, for it is impossible to delight a lukewarm person, or an alienated affection with giving crowns and scepters. So as we may a person that violently loves us with our very presence and affections. Number 60. By this we may discern what strange power God hath given to us by loving us infinitely. He gives us a power more to please him than if we were able to create worlds and present them to him.